Hello and welcome once again to the verse by verse Bible teaching of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Churchill, Tennessee on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And this is a hand car washing business that my wife and I run, and we own and operate this business for the sole purpose of keeping these verse by verse Bible messages on the radio and into your car radio. You can listen to them on 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot. If you're getting your car washed or you're waiting for your car to be washed, you can flip to 107.1 FM. These sermons will play on a loop throughout the week. Also, you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you will find all the information about this business and about this ministry. And you can also listen to all of our archive messages there. Free to listen, free to download. And it's all brought to you by your continued support of coming to our car wash to allow us to earn our money as Paul earned his making tents so that we can bring the Word of God in all of its fullness. And that is why we do verse-by-verse Bible teaching, to fully equip the saints of God for what is coming and for what is indeed here already. And by equipping, we mean going verse-by-verse through entire books of the Bible. And we are currently in John chapter 14. We left off at verse 15 where Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And we started looking in our last message at how what Jesus is saying there is as plain and as day. It's as plain and simple as the words. Even in the original Greek, it says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." And we started talking about, well, if that's true, that if I love Jesus, that I will obey him, what happens when I disobey him? Does that mean my love has gone? And we talked a little bit in our last message where we left off saying that, of course not. In fact, it's because of that love that we're able to recognize that we are still sinners, that we still need a Savior. And so what happened in this day, which is why Jesus came, the Pharisees had taken the law of Moses, which was the heart of God, written as a law, and they took it and they basically removed the heart of God over centuries. And what they were left with was nothing but the written letter of the law, which did nothing but create a legalistic, religiosity, where everyone that was coming to God through the Mosaic law was doing it under the strict adherence to the law. And what that did, it eliminated the character of God. It eliminated the heart of God, which was written in the law, but slowly over time taken out by Pharisaical leaders who changed the law to a legalistic, black and white, no movement, nothing, no spiritual allotment for the word to be swayed to the left or to the right. And I said this last message, I'm going to say it again. I said swayed, not changed. Because even verses that are as black and white as "if you love me, you will obey me" have some liberties to be swayed a little to the left or the right. And again, if you look at that verse in a legalistic standpoint, it says, "If you love me, you will obey me." And a legalistic viewpoint of that verse would be simply the opposite. If you disobey me, you don't love me. So we can't look at this verse in a legalistic, in a word-for-word law type of way, or we're going to miss the heart of God. And the heart of God simply says, yes, you will still obey me, but the Spirit of God inside of us leads us back to the repentance that the love of God for us and that we have for him and his son will get us back out of that rut. And the devil wants us to stay in that rut. You see, it's a vicious cycle that continues to spin around and around. This is why God said in the New Testament, "I have now written the law on their hearts." You understand? The law of God is now the Spirit of God inside of us. And so when we read a written law like this, if we take it and we don't allow the Spirit to sway it in one direction or another, we will be stuck back again in legalism. And then Christ's coming was for naught, because if we're still living in the Mosaic law in the New Testament, then we are still bound by that law. And, you know, in the last message, I talked about these verses being, I call them quicksand verses, because they're the kind of verses where the more you try to expound upon them, the harder and sometimes more confused the hearer might get. And just like quicksand, the more you struggle, the faster you sink. And so this is a prime example of how it, in my mind, as I'm trying to explain this verse, it feels like I'm going around and around and not getting anywhere. Maybe it's even getting worse in terms of explanation. And so I hope the explanations that you're getting, well, let me say this, let the Spirit bring those words forward. And I would encourage you to go back and listen again to what was said about this verse. But we're gonna try to move on, because if we're stuck in the legalism, we're not gonna move towards Jesus. We're not gonna become more like Him. I mean, this verse 15 is a classic example. If someone were to take this verse, "If you love me, you will obey what I command," and they were to make it as literal as it sounds, it would. If a Christian were to take that literally, it would almost cause insanity as you went back and forth trying to reconcile your love for God versus the nature that has caused you to sin. We are all sinners, and we all falter even after salvation. Maybe sometimes even more so due to the fact that we have a heightened knowledge of sin. You know, prior to salvation, you were doing things you didn't realize were even sins, but then Christ comes into your life and the Spirit begins to sanctify you, and now all of a sudden there's countless things that we used to do that we didn't even think were sins. Now we know that they are, and so it almost seems like we're even worse now than we were before we got saved. And you see how this can become a quicksand type of verse that just gets worse and worse the more you try to think about it and meditate upon it. Now I just want to make a quick side note that before I go on, that I'm not condoning or excusing and, of course, permitting sin. Absolutely, by no means would I be doing that. Sin and disobedience to Jesus is heartbreaking, and it fellowship destroying, and it is a growth deterrent to you becoming more like Christ. But we must be self-accountable, and we still have to try to avoid these sins. Like the West Nile virus, we have to do what we can not to continue doing them. But again, what does this verse say? If you love me, you will obey. So think of it this way. Obedience to Christ is because of love, not a requisite for love. So I think he's saying here is the fact. It's a fact. It's a statement. He's saying, because you love me, you will obey what I command. Not, you will obey me only if you love me. It's not an ultimatum. I believe it's more of a byproduct of that love. So I hope that settles this a little bit more for you. But we'll come back to this in a short time here. But let's read the next few verses, and we're going to take a little side road detour, if you will. Look at verse 16. It says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And in verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me." So we're right back there again. We're going to stop right there. He does this whole thing, and then he ends in verse 21, "Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Let's stop there. Now, wow, we're right back up to this love issue again. But let's consider this. Verses 16, or rather 15 and 16, if we were to put them together, instead of it reading, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." So instead of reading it like that, let's paraphrase it. And let's consider reading it like this. If you love me, you will listen to me. And if you listen to me, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Now hold on to that for a minute. Look at Acts 1:4. "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Now, maybe I might be reading too much into this, but instead of pressing such a hard teaching upon the would-be converts or new converts or even mature Christians for that matter about, you know, obedience versus love and how they're connected, what if all of this just means simply that if you obey my direction to stay in Jerusalem, if Jesus is saying, if you guys would just obey me, if you stay in Jerusalem like I'm asking you to do in Acts 1:4, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus said stay, they obeyed, and then they received. Good dog. Now, but if the disciples decided instead to go to Chuck E. Cheese, they would have missed out on the blessing. And so they received a reward for their obedience. And in the Bible, there are a lot of conditional commands. There are a lot of commands that have a reward attached to them. But what about when there is a command and there is no obvious or known reward for your obedience? Now, of course, there's always some sort of a reward or a blessing or a repercussion for obedience. But what if it's not known? What if you don't see it? What if it's just obeying for the sake of obeying? Why would you obey? Well, you see, this is where the New Testament grace kicks in. Listen to this. We should all be so grateful for the imputation of Christ's righteousness, listen, that we cannot but be obedient. Do you understand? We should be so grateful for what Christ has come and done for us that there shouldn't even be an option for disobedience. We cannot but obey is what we should do. Look at verse 21 again. It says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. So we use this verse to tie it all together. Now, I don't want to overanalyze it, but I don't want you to miss an important truth either. So in verse 21 we just read, Jesus tells us that whoever loves him, he also said it in verse 15, whoever loves him will be loved by him and by the Father. So, wait a second. Does that sound right to you? Does it sound right if I say to you that whoever loves Jesus will then also be loved by him and by the Father? Well, I mean, isn't that what Jesus just said? That's exactly what Jesus just said. I'll read it again because you probably don't have your Bibles open in front of you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And then back in verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And then he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him. But does that sound right? Well, how could it not sound right? Jesus just said it. And this is why I went back to telling you that we have to allow the Spirit to let us sway the Scriptures. Again, not change them, but sway them. Because if we take God at his exact word in verse 15 and verse 21 and even the stuff in between those verses, we are looking at a dogmatic religious system that will just cause you to sink in the quicksand of the explanation of these verses. It will cause more legalism, and thus you will become less and less able to obey. So it doesn't sound right to me, and I hope it doesn't sound right to you, even though we read the words that Jesus talked about. Because listen, what about Christianity sounds wrong about that? If you love him, he will love you. The whole thing sounds wrong, but that's what Jesus said. But listen, in 1 John 4:19, totally contradicts what Jesus is saying here, or the principle, God loves me if I love him. Because what does 1 John 4:19 says? We love because what? He first loved us. And in Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And of course, greater love has no one than this, that a man would lay down his life. Listen, God loves us and loved us long before we decided to love him and obey him. And that flies in the face of the scriptures we're reading. But I encourage you to come back and listen as we try to wrap this up, because it's not It's not wrong, and it's not a contradiction. So come back and listen. It's about all the time we have for today. See you tomorrow.